Amen. Children, you may follow your teacher. Amen. I want to thank our teachers for teaching our young people. Amen. Bringing it to them on their level. Amen. I truly appreciate that. I thank, again, I thank you for the recognition of pastors' appreciation. Amen. Truly, I give glory and honor to God who has given me the strength to stand before you and preach his word every Sunday. Amen. And every opportunity I get, I thank God for that opportunity, amen, that he has given me, amen. And I thank God for you for being faithful in the ministry, amen, with your continued faithfulness. So may God continue to bless each and every one of you. Our scripture reading is coming from Psalms 91. I know a special thanks to the men for them cleaning up and doing their best efforts to keep the grounds, the campus, beautiful. Amen. So I'm thankful for them for doing the yard work and the upkeep of the building and whatever it is that they have their hand to do. So much thanks to our deacons and our trustees for their faithfulness. Amen. Psalms 91, when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. I'm reading from the King James Version. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall my plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. All right. Amen. For the readers, hearers, and doers of God's words. Amen. 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 I want you to know something about Psalms 91 and 1. Psalms 91 and 1, you need to understand that this is basically a 9-1-1. Amen. It is a 9-1-1. Amen. God knew what he was doing when he put this verse together. Amen. It was before we put our 9-1-1 system together. God had already put this 9-1-1 system together, because he said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen to this. This is, again, it's not a coincidence that this is a 9-1-1 verse. And whatever trouble we face today, God is the place of refuge we can run to. He is our safe place. Here's the thing. We may not always feel it. We might forget it's there at times, or even wonder if God left us to fend for ourselves.
All right.
In the heat of hard situations in this life, we need to understand that God is protecting us. God doesn't forget us or ignore us. If we belong to God, God's love is too great to leave us on our own. Have you ever had this or said this to someone? And basically, let me spin it to you this way. Have you ever had anybody to cover for you? What do I mean by that? You were in a jam and somebody stepped in just in time. People can cover for you in all sort of ways. People can cover for you from small things to big things. People can cover for you for lunch. Amen. If you need some time off of work, people cover for you. You ever seen the movies where the police officer are in a shootout and one of the police officers would say, "Cover me," as he gets ready to go to battle and get ready to take down the enemy? I mean, I feel that way when we deal with spiritual things. When you have somebody that's praying for you,
all right.
Amen, that's covering. Uh-huh. Amen. This is what I was trying to basically explain to my ministers yesterday in the ministers' meeting, but didn't want to deliver my message too early. But you need that covering.
Amen.
Amen. When you go to a visiting church and when you go, you need that blessing of the pastor. You need that covering. Because the devil is trying to get God's people. See, some people don't believe what I'm saying right now. Because, see, they're like that Thomas. They got to see it to believe it. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen. So what I'm saying is that, you know, when you ask somebody to cover for you, you feel a lot better. Amen. When you want some time off, you say, hey, can you cover my shift? I'll switch with you. So you feel better when somebody has said, yes, I'll cover you. And if you ever notice in the movies when they say, cover me, that person who is doing the covering, they draws the attention to them. Watch this, taking a twist. They draw the attention to themselves. And they allow this person to go where they want to go. So what do? They stand up and they just start shooting with their guns. Because they're letting the enemy know, you got to take me out. Because I'm the one that's coming at you. Pretty steep.
All right.
So what I'm saying is that, you know, the Bible says, he who dwells in the shelter, or it says in the secret place of the Most High God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Uh-huh. That sounds like covering. Y'all ever, I gotta, sometimes, let me say this. Y'all ever been working out, those of you who work outside, and it's hot? And man, you see this, you got a little shadow here, man. Don't you just go for that little shade? See, because what's happening here? That sun is coming down on you.
Yeah.
And if you're working outside, man, you want some relief from that sun that's coming down on you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have much hair up there, you can feel it.
Amen.
You don't have no cover.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have no covering.
Amen.
But my point of what I'm trying to get you to understand is that you look for that shade. It's that shade that gives you that instant relief of what you're dealing with.
Yes.
It kind of gives you that moment of break. It's the reason why you have this shade here, and the reason why you're able to enjoy it, is because there is something that is in between you and what is coming down on you. When you have something that's in between you and what's coming at you that you're trying to get the relief from, it provides you that shade, that covering that you need, and to give you what? That relief.
Amen. Come on.
I can't really enjoy the tree and its shade unless I'm in position where the tree is in direct block of what is coming at me. I can't enjoy the Lord unless I position him in the position to where what is coming at me, to where it will provide me the relief that I need. It's like that shadow. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you get underneath that shade tree, doesn't it provide you the relief that you need? This is the translation that God is trying to say. I'm better than this tree, but it's an example of what is providing you the relief of what is coming down on you.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Woo.
Glory.
The word dwell used in this verse actually means to take up permanent residence. When you dwell somewhere, you are taking a permanent residence. I'm gonna tell you something. Let me just be real here for a moment. You know, being the color that I am, I'm not trying to get any darker.
All right.
Amen. So when you go outside, you will try to find a shade. Somebody that's tall that's next to you, say, hey man, come stand right here. That's why it's a blessing to be short. Because somebody that's tall that's around you, they can provide shade for you. Amen?
Amen.
I love tall people being around me. It gives me that comfort, that shade that I need. I ain't talking about nobody here. Amen. But to dwell means taking up permanent residence. God reminds us to stay in his presence, because it's a permanent place of living. His word says that if we do that, we will find rest. Shadows, shade provides that comfort for us. Someone can only give you shade when they are in place in between you and that which is burning you.
All right.
Amen. Jesus teaches us to place him in between us and what is causing us grief. Whatever is burning us, whatever we need that relief from, that shade from, Jesus is saying, put me first.
All right.
Amen? Put me first. He's saying that, see, in this, there's scripture, I didn't put this up there, but there's scripture that said, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Amen. Psalms 121 and 5, you can look that up. This doesn't say that God wants to give us shade. He wants to personally be our shade. Because it said, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Psalms 91, it's about the whole Christian life and how the Lord's promises apply to the whole course of life. There are so many promises in Psalms 91. I mean, there is so much rich information in Psalms 91. You know, there's a thing that says you just can't tell it all. God intends for every Christian to have a solid sense of security in this unsafe, insecure world. He wired us this way. He wired us this way to seek security. But he wants us to seek security in him. Amen? We will seek security in something.
All right.
But I pray that you're seeking security in him. Amen. The big problem is that you will base your security on something. You will look to some created thing to give the security that God alone can only provide. Isn't it amazing how we seek for things other than God, but God can only provide what you're seeking after.
All right.
One thing that I like in this particular Psalms, it's the word deliverer. You hear that's about three times. God is referred to as a deliverer. Deliverance. Surely he will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence. There are dangers in life that are hitting from us. It's a trap to catch you. Don't you all understand what I'm saying? There is traps to catch each and every one of you.
Amen.
I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I heard that this metropolitan area, the St. Louis metropolitan area, is the high area for trafficking. Amen? I've heard that. So what I'm saying is that there are traps that are out there to catch you. And you need to be prayed up. You need to be connected to God because Satan has traps out there for you. Y'all don't understand that so many times I see so many people just so in dirt. I mean, let me just do this for a moment. This. Man, people are so fascinated, so crazy with this. They sent out a blast email to everybody in our building to say that be on guard, be safe, watch out. There are people in the parking garage trying to get you and lure you. How many of you know that there are people who still plug in, put their earplugs in, and they're walking? Not paying attention to anything that's going around them. I'm sitting there looking like, Lord have mercy. That is an easy prey right there. You can easily snatch this person up, put them in something, they'll never know. Number one, they can't hear you. There are so many things that I can say that I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, they're not paying attention at all. I'm going to tell you something. I'm walking and somebody started walking behind me. Let me tell you something. I'm a short guy. Looking at me don't intimidate anybody, but I ain't going to back down either. So I'm walking, and people walking up behind me. I step to the side. Don't walk behind me. I'm not being funny. I don't like for people to walk this close behind me. All this room over here, and you got to walk up. I know we're going in the same place, but I step to the side. I'm like, I'm giving you this lane. You don't need to be directly behind me. I'm giving you this lane over here. Walk. And I see people not paying attention. This is why the Lord has labeled us as sheep. Read and look up sheep. They have no defense. They're vulnerable. Anything can come and get them. They need a shepherd. They need a shepherd. That is their defense. I'm trying to tell you that the Bible is saying that Satan is waiting on you, trying to trap you. There are hidden dangers, but God is promising to protect us. Even though the Lord does keep many things away from our bodies and often answers prayers for safety and physical healing, it is a promise that God is going to deliver you from evil. The snare, the pestilence, these are symbols of Satan's temptation. So no matter what happens, you can know that this will not ultimately harm you. You being a child of God, if you're doing what God has sent for you to do, trust me, God is watching over you. If his eyes is on the sparrow, he is watching over you. He will cover you with his feathers. I'm a wildlife person. I love to watch wildlife. I believe wildlife is pretty much telling you a lot about what God is trying to teach us.
Amen.
You ever see one of those hens, they're trying to protect their youngins? They will spread their wings and they will cover them like this. Amen. There is it's a protection, it's a covering for their youngins. To keep them out of harm. All right. God is saying he is protecting us. He's shielding us. Mm-hmm. Mother hen does that for her chicks. Uses her soft feathers. The second thing that I believe that is done for defense is hard armor. Think about it. There's different times you need different types of comfort and assurance. Sometimes you may need a hug. Sometimes you need a good lock on your door. Or a shelter from a tornado. One comfort is soft and the other one is hard. The Lord can do both. He can give you soft comfort or he can give you hard comfort. Let me say this to you, to everybody that's here. Deliverance determines destiny. Because not everyone may get into a mess. Everyone at one point in life needs to be delivered from something.
All right.
Amen? Amen? It may be external or it may be internal. Deliverance is the major thing of this Bible and of the history and of the life, because there is a constant and continuous need in human life for us to be delivered.
All right.
The heroes of history, they are deliverers. Moses led his people out of Egypt as a great deliverer. The great kings of Israel, like David, and the great judges, like Samson, they were deliverers. Over and over in history, there is repeated people that became ensnared by evil and came under the bondage of an oppressor. But the Lord rose up a deliverer each time. You cannot think of a Bible character that did not in some way need deliverance.
All right.
Everyone needs deliverance. Joseph was delivered from the pit, from Potiphar's wife, and in prison. He was raised up to be a deliverer of his family and the people of God. David, again, was delivered from Saul. Amen. And raised up to deliver the people from their enemies. Daniel, as you know, was delivered from the lion's den and became a great leader. His three friends were delivered from the fiery furnace. Amen. Jonah was delivered from the belly of the fish.
Amen.
If you look in your Bible, the words deliverer, deliverance, and deliverer are used so many times from Genesis to Revelation.
All right.
The greatest story of all time is the story of a deliverer.
Amen.
And that is the Messiah.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Jesus Christ, who came and delivered us. Paul did not think of a deliverance as a once and for all, like being saved. He saw it as a continuous, never-ending experience until that final deliverance, when we escape not only the penalty and the power of sin, but the very presence forever. There is no prayer more relevant than deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Amen. Deliver us from evil. There's a lot of things I didn't understand when I was a child, but man, it's becoming revelation now as I get older.
Amen.
Paul says in another use of this word, he said, "For he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son." Jesus has already become our deliverer, but he also looks ahead where he uses the word again to say, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. There is still future deliverance.
All right.
What I'm trying to tell you this morning, we need deliverance.
All right.
And we need a deliverer.
All right.
And that deliverer's name is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus knows the heart of man better than man knows it. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are. Yet he was without sin. But he is not without awareness that none of his followers would ever be without sin. Do you think that he did not know that Christians will be hooked by every piece of bait the serpent would put out there to catch you? Let me say this. Some people may say, well, that ain't gonna get me. Well, that's not gonna get me. Let me tell you something. Talk to a fisherman. That fisherman knows what bait to use to catch what fish. Don't you think that Satan knows what bait to use to catch you? If you were so all of that, then you would not have needed Jesus to die for you. You follow what I'm saying? You would need a deliverer. But I promise you, and I wish I had a thought of it before I took my tech. But if I, temptation will get us.
Amen.
If I had a set something down there nice and cold to drink, temptation will get us. Now you may say, well, I don't drink that. I can put something else that will get you to maybe dabble in it. Jesus knew his disciples will continue to be sinners. And that is why they need to pray daily for forgiveness. He knew they would be subject to daily temptation. We are subject to daily temptation. We need to understand that you may say right now in the midst of other Christians that I won't do it, but wait until you're by yourself. Let's see how tough you are.
All right.
Because I can guarantee you, when you think nobody is looking at you, you think, okay, well, ain't nobody gonna know. But what I'm trying to tell you is not to put down on you, but it's to say that you too can be tempted. Lead us not into temptation. Sometimes we have to become aware of our weakness. If I know something is weak for me, then I won't go around it. Amen? Amen. It's just that simple. I mean, if you're on a diet, you know you shouldn't be going around certain food items. And don't say that it was talking to you. It does not talk. All right. Amen? All right. Amen. Y'all need to rebuke that spirit. Because last time I heard, food does not talk. It sits there. You the one that's doing the talking. You the one that's saying it ain't gonna hurt. You the one that's saying, I'm just gonna take a little piece. That little piece starts off like right in the corner. And then next thing you know, I don't know why you do that to yourself. Because you're gonna come back. And then that little square that you got right there, it becomes a rectangle. I mean, it gets bigger. Amen? I mean, it gets bigger. The food is not talking to you. It is you communicating to the food. You walking past it and saying, what? That's what you're doing. When you walk past the food, you think you heard the food say something, but that was actually you saying it won't hurt. It ain't like the food got arms. Listen to this. I'm not going to pretend that I got it all together. I'm not going to pretend. Let me say this. Satan in the garden, if he was able to get Adam and Eve, who were created without sin, if he were able to get them, don't you think that he's able to get you too? Let me back up. You all remember what Minister O'Bannon said, that he brought 2/3 of the angels with him. I mean, think about it. These angels were in heaven. So if he can convince them, you don't think that he can get you? What I'm trying to say is that you got people that are walking around that think they don't need a deliverer. People walking around, let me break it down to you and say his name. People don't believe that they need Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you do.
All right.
You need Jesus. The only way you're going to make it is by being under the protection of our Lord and Savior. Let me say this. Every man has a breaking point. All right. Every man has a breaking point. The wise Christian is the one who does not need this truth proven. See, I don't need something proven to me to say that. See, I told the pastor. See, people try to get the pastor all the time. They be looking for him to say any kind of curse words or anything. But I'm just saying, every man has a breaking point. You push a person, no matter how quiet, no matter how nice they are, you continue to push that person, they have a breaking point. Amen? All of a sudden, you will be dealt with. So what I'm saying is don't play Russian roulette. The Christian who has a weakness for alcohol and yet goes into a bar, you're not doing yourself any justice. You want to go and try to talk to a friend and minister to them, and knowing that they deal with these type of things and drugs, you going around them and just got off of it. Now you want to go and try to minister to them? I don't think that's a good idea.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen? Amen? That ain't a good idea. All right. I mean, I think you should leave that alone. Let somebody else do that. But I should be able to tell them, no. Sit this one out. You know what I'm saying? Let somebody else, let God use somebody else who's strong in that. Because you go over there, you're going to be hooked again. You're going to forget that you're supposed to be there ministering. Psalms 91:7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not come by me. See, listen to this verse. Your doctor or your insurance agent may ask you, and I hate this when they go to the doctor. You know, they say, do you have a family history? Ooh, that gets on my nerves when they ask that question. Do you have a history of heart disease in your family? No. Have an attitude. I ain't know so-and-so. I don't know what they had. I don't like those questions. If you say yes, here's what they would say. They would probably tell you that, well, there's a good chance that you may die from that too. Now, if you are without God, you will probably agree with them. Well, they said, I went to the doctor, they said their family have heart disease. Doctor, I'm going to die from that too. It's a history. It's in my family. I'm just, man, so just go do my eulogy now. This is, I'm telling you, they put this in your mind. Amen. Amen. And they get you to thinking, well, it's a family history. It's a family gene. You know, so-and-so died from it. So-and-so, I don't be telling them nothing. Y'all want to know my family history? Come to the reunion. You want to know something about my family? Come to the reunion. And then you can talk to them. Nobody telling you about my family history. Now, if you are without God, you will agree with them and start worrying about your health. But if you, but you are not without God. In fact, God's word tells a thousand. This is what God's word said. It says a thousand may fall at your right side. Yeah. And 10,000 may fall. Let me tell you something. Listen to what I'm saying here. It's saying it ain't coming near you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's the scripture I believe.
Amen. All right.
That's what you should quote to the doctor. Well, doctor, this is what the psalm said.
That's right. Yeah.
It says this. I know you said there's a history, but I want to tell you what the Lord said. Amen. This is what he, this is the report he gave me.
Amen.
He said in Psalms 91, a thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come to me, doctor.
Amen. 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 Amen.
So I don't believe your report, doctor. I know what they taught you in medical school, but this is what they taught me in theology.
Amen. Come on, Pastor. Yeah.
So I can't receive that.
All right.
Many people allow people to put stuff in their spirits, and people take it, and they put it on like it's a suit jacket and walk around with it.
Uh-huh.
No, all you right. don't do that. You take that off. You don't receive it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Come on here.
Even when it comes to general, when it comes to a general disease, you can boldly declare the disease stops here.
All right.
I ain't putting up with you.
All right.
It ain't going to do me like that.
Uh-huh.
We have to know when to start speaking God's word. Mm-hmm. We use God's word for all other stuff, but we can't use God's word for when we need to use it.
Uh-huh.
Amen? If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. I say tent. I'm not talking about something you put up on the beach. I ain't talking about something you put out there in the woods. I'm talking about this tent. This here. God is making a promise to us. Romans chapter 8 and 28. It says, all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Not all things are good, but they will be turned for good, not evil, in the lives. Romans 8, 28 doesn't mean we can live any way we choose to. Amen?
Amen.
And then to say, God going to fix my mess. I'm just going to live any kind of way I'm living. God going to fix it because all things work together. Now, to understand the truth, we can't just quote part of the verse
Amen.
We like. That's the problem with folks. When I hear people quoting verses, I'd be like, and? And they look at me like, I'd be like, and? It was like, what, you only know half the verse. And we know that in all things works together for, we start quoting, but we skip the rest of it. First of all, those who love God. Amen? Not everybody loves God. And not everybody is called according to his purpose. Some people are out here doing their own thing. I can't say that all things work together for, you know, when somebody is doing something, I'm like, first of all, let me just say this. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior? Because right now, this scripture doesn't apply to you. It only applies to his children. Amen? It only applies to his children. If you are not my brother, if you are not my sister, you're not talking about the scripture that my daddy gave. The verse says, to those who love God and are doing their best to obey his commandments. Mm-hmm. Even though bad and sad and evil, wicked things will touch your life, God will use them to ultimately bring good. Mm-hmm. Look at Joseph. He used that to bring good. Romans 8:28 tells us God can use all things together for good. He doesn't say all things are good. When Jesus returns and conquers Satan once and for all, sin will continue to drag his poison into us, dragging and destroying everything in his wake. The truth is, we need to understand. And Romans 8:8 reminds us that although sin and Satan are powerful, God is more powerful. Amen. That's why he put that out there. He understands that Satan is somewhat of power, but he realized that his word will carry us in. He is able to redeem and restore anything for our good and his glory. All things may not be good, but God can and will use all things for good. Amen? It may take somebody, and I'm just saying this, I don't mean this in a bad way. Somebody may be saved, and it may take you passing away. Let me just put it out there. It may take you passing away that one in your family that's not saved, that may get them saved. Amen? I've seen it happen before. A person checked out. It got another person saved. That person is on fire for the Lord. Had that person still been here, that I don't know if that person would have been saved. I'm saying that God can take something that we look as bad, turn it out for good. Because it's not his will that anybody should perish. Now, we'll look at it in a bad way. God took my so-and-so. That's how we will look at it. But if that person is in heaven, that person has made it where we're trying to go.
All right.
Amen. Have you looked at it that way? If we all were set out to go to Mississippi, if somebody arrived there and we're trying to go there, shouldn't we rejoice because that's where we're headed?
Yeah. All right.
They're letting us know that they made it there. Don't you know that it would be a blessing for that person who's already arrived to say, hey, if you're going 55 south, watch out because there is so-and-so. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a blessing. They had these CBs back in the day where you can talk and they tell you about the traffic. Uh-huh. But it's a blessing when I'm trying to tell you that somebody that has gone ahead of you, mm-hmm. that could tell you, that could show you the way. We have supernatural protection, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Angels, listen to this. We don't talk too much about angels or even think of them. But somehow, in some way, they are here to help us in this life. Amen. We have a lot of fun in Bible study. And we talked about some of the angels may be unemployed. Because we're not putting them to work. We don't know how to utilize them. But they are, the angels may be unemployed, but they're still getting their benefits. Amen. That's what we said. They still getting benefits, even though they may be unemployed. What I'm saying is we need to understand the Bible even says, forget not my benefits. Yeah, I know that scripture. It said, forget not my benefits. The Lord wants us to utilize his angels. They are there for a reason. Many of us don't know how to tap into that. All you got to do, you're a child of God, you got access. Even this was known by Jesus. I mean, even Satan understood this. Y'all better know this stuff is real. He knew that if something happened to Jesus, he knew what the angels would do. Why? Because he was one himself. I already know what their job description is. Because I was employed in heaven until I got fired. So he already knows what their job description is. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we need to activate God's benefits. Every believer, listen to this, has the ability to cast out devils. A believer, listen to what I'm saying, a believer who does not cast out devils is like a person who carries around a gift card but never uses it. Imagine having a gift card. Got money on there. You carrying it around with you. What good is it? You need to activate that. Amen? How do you activate that? When you pull it out. You use it. That's what you do with it. We need to understand that you have the ability to cast out demons. God cursed the serpent and put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. So whether you like it or not, you have an enemy. Satan. You have an enemy. Satan is always going to come after us. He's always going to come after us. He's always going to have work to do. He's going to constantly come at you. You need to constantly be in prayer. You need to also understand that at the command of Jesus, the disciples had performed many miracles. The miracles of the disciples were an assault against the powers of the devil. When we proclaim the gospel, we tread upon all the powers of the enemy wherever the gospel is believed. All
right.
The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Everybody that's believed. When you are preaching the gospel, you are putting Satan under your feet.
All right.
Amen? When you tell of God's goodness, you are putting Satan under your feet.
All right.
Here's one thing I want us to keep this in mind as I close. We need to move forward. And when you think about moving forward, if you're in your car and you're driving, and if you're constantly looking in your rearview mirror, I want you to think about this for a moment. You are about to have an accident. Because your focus is on something that's smaller. Amen? But see, when you're looking forward, your eyes is on a bigger picture, a bigger mirror, a bigger windshield, a bigger view into where you're going. When the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, their greatest challenge was coming out of bondage mentally. When God sets us free, the enemy attempts to keep us, attempts to get us to remember the good things about our former bondage because he wants to make serving God seem harder. Amen. It's hard for people to let go of things because they continue to play over and over in their mind what they remember.
All right.
And what is what? Familiar. It's hard for people to imagine what's coming ahead because they, number one, never been there before, and they never visualized it, and they don't have the capability to really understand what God, well, they do have the capability, but they're not using the capability to understand what God is teaching us. You must move forward. People, we are stagnant spiritually. People are stagnant spiritually in their walk with Christ because they're afraid of going forth. This church, as much evil as we see in this world, as we see that's going on, this church should be filled to capacity. Amen.
Amen.
Every seat in here should be filled. Let me say this. There should be standing room only. Amen. There should be a overflow. There should be, you know, parking lot jam with all the things that people are constantly enduring, with all the things that people are constantly facing in life. You would think that they will run into the household of prayer. But see, here's the thing. Your faith at some time will stand trial. Something or someone will come and your faith will stand the test. The Lord spoke to Moses and told him to tell the people to move forward. They could not be concerned about the Red Sea in front of them. It always takes faith to move forward. Lot was delivered out of Sodom and commanded never to look back. When his wife looked back, she lost her deliverance. She was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but when she looked back, she lost her deliverance. Many of us, when we look back at what God has delivered you from, you lose your deliverance. Obstacles will attempt to make you doubt. Soul ties will make you want to look back. Always remember that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. So regardless of what people say about you, and what people say to you, just know that he is the author and the finisher of your faith. As I started out, the only way you can enjoy the shadow of the Almighty is when you put yourself in position and line yourself up with what is coming down on you and put that object. Y'all ever seen, when I was growing up, when I was a child, you know, when Bob used to have, we used to all walk to the store, and Bob had his shadow, and I used to try to, you know, step in Bob's shadow. And what I was doing at that time was trying to get some relief at a young age. Listen to what I'm saying. Y'all done this before. Y'all act like you ain't done this. You played in your parents' shadow. The parent's shadow was right there. And so you, like, look, I'm in your shadow. You follow me? You're standing right there in the shadow. This is where God wants you to be. See, that's he wants us to come as little children. You follow what I'm saying? And so God is standing here. And he has a shadow. And so in order to draw attention, in order to get Jesus, in order to get here, and you have to come closer. I'm saying that if you're too far away, you can't enjoy the shadow. Y'all get me? It could be a tree right here, and if you're far away from it, and the shadow is right here, and the shade is right here, you can't enjoy it because you're too far away. The only way you will enjoy it is that you got to come close. Amen? In order for me to get some type of relief from what is
coming down on me, I got you. That's why the Bible said, draw near. Then it said, nearer. Nearer, my God, to thee. See, you got to get closer to him. And when you get, and see, before you know it, you're holding his hand. And you're walking in the shadow of the Almighty God. In order for you to enjoy his shadow, you have to come closer and be with the Lord. Amen.